When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
Hour two of The Bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man John Belmer behind the glass. We spent most of the last hour talking about the Houston Astros. And we're going to finish off the Texans conversation right here before we end the segment. Next segment with Mount Rushmore plus one. Before Aggies pregame starts at 1:30, the Aggies taking on the Tennessee Volunteers. That game is on the road, correct?
Yes, in the Neyland Stadium.
Quickly, just before we get into C.J. Stroud, Aggies pull off the upset today?
No.
Andrew?
Absolutely not.
All right, yeah, 3-for-3. Yeah,
Jimbo has 0-for-7 his last true road games.
God.
Yeah, Sean was spitting all sorts of facts over on the Aggs on the Paul Gallant show yesterday.
That was the one about the Aggs, the one about the Tennessee Volunteers. They haven't lost a home game since 2021.
Really?
Okay. These are trends that don't
bode well for Jimbo.
No, that national title with the open date on it is not looking very good. All right, let's get into C.J. Stroud because he is looking very good. Maybe we try the transition over again.
Okay.
Someone that is looking very good, C.J. Stroud. That was better. That felt nice. Yeah. All right, so it's not just people here in the city of Houston praising the play of C.J. Stroud so far through his first five games. It's former NFL quarterback J.T. O'Sullivan, who you can find on his YouTube channel, which is called the QB School. He played in the league for, I think, 4 years. We're going to use the term again. He was a Jag quarterback in the NFL, but often those guys, I think, provide the best insight because they don't have the Peyton Manning natural ability to just do it without having to think about it. Not that Peyton Manning was doing that, but let's hear from J.T. O'Sullivan right now, breaking down one of the plays that C.J. Stroud had last week against the Atlanta Falcons, breaking down how C.J. Stroud dissected a Falcons coverage to find the open man, which happened to be Tank Dell on a post route.
All right, another C.J. Stroud video, seemingly like a weekly thing over here for me. If you love that, you're in the right spot. My goodness, C.J. Stroud quickly becoming one of my favorite watches in the league. I just love the way that he throws the ball with such anticipation. This probably wasn't his greatest accuracy game, but man, out the gate here, attacking the middle of the field versus what I'm going to call like a combo-ish coverage, not the easiest read in the world, throwing dudes open. So coverage-wise here, when they get to empty 3-by-2, what this play in short is they're attacking the middle of the field. But at the end of the day, for C.J. Stroud right here, he's trusting this win to the post, and then as soon as he sees this Mike linebacker type, the middle of the three linebacker types, drive on this tight end. Once he sees that action, he knows he's got this. So he's able to let it go before he even gets into the window. Just outstanding.
So I know that's a little tough to follow without seeing the video, but basically the Texans come out in empty and borrowing what I would term as the term I would use for Madden. They were basically kind of running a levels concept where they had Dalton Schultz attacking the linebacker and then Tank Dell over the top of that with the post route, basically putting the linebacker in a no-win situation where if he jumps the underneath to Dalton Schultz, which he did, then you throw the post to Tank Dell. If he drops back into coverage to stay underneath Tank Dell's post route, then you drop it off to Dalton Schultz and basically put him in a situation where he's having to guard two people and he can't be right. So excellent play design by Bobby Slowick, and it's just amazing to see. And you see it in the video again. You go check it out, JT O'Sullivan the QB School on YouTube. It's amazing to see how quickly CJ Stroud picks it up and throws, and he's ready for it. His feet are there, and he throws with the anticipation, which is something a lot of people, including myself, had concerns about coming out of college. Just guys coming out of spread systems, specifically Ohio State, are the guys who can anticipate the throw. They have to see it come wide open. I mean, not that we need another reason to praise C.J. Stroud. There's 1,000 reasons to, but just very impressive what we've seen so far from C.J. Stroud, his ability to throw guys open, anticipate throws.
Yeah, throwing guys open is with especially this receiving core that they have. He's got to do it a lot.
He does have to because he doesn't have the top level wide receiver.
And so it's the like specific things that he's good at is what is so impressive about it, is the anticipation. It's the willing to go over the middle of the field as a rookie and throw into these tight windows, especially, again, the stereotype with Ohio State quarterbacks. He's throwing to a whole bunch of first-round picks at wide receiver. These guys are wide-ass open against Indiana, Northwestern. How is he going to do it when it's all tightened up? C.J. Stroud is excellent at it when it's tightened up. He's such a good quarterback at, like, the polished quarterback things. And then also he can absolutely rip it. It's really incredible. He's, I think, exceeded any possible expectation you could possibly have for him already in the first five games of his career.
He's been remarkable. Like, Sean, you hit the nail on the head there. Your wildest expectations, C.J. Stroud has exceeded those by a mile with what he's done in the first five games of his NFL career. And the most exciting part about it to me is, if this is the floor of C.J. Stroud and who he can be, what does the ceiling look like? Because I understand that he may not have the athleticism and escapability of some of the uber-elite quarterbacks that we commonly see at the top of today's game. Think of Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's never going to have the playground ability that Patrick Mahomes has, where he's going to keep a play alive for 20 or 25 seconds and then chunk a ball, 60, 70 yards down the field to what was then a streaking Tyreek Hill or something like that. But the fact that C.J. Stroud is already displaying this level of competency when it comes to being an NFL quarterback, it's impossible to not be extremely, extremely excited about what the future can hold, just because, look, we understand that development is not always going to be linear. So it's not just going to be this direct rocket path up to greatness and success. But the fact that he is at such an incredible starting point already, it's impossible not to get really giddy with what that could mean for his future.
Yeah, it's five games. It's five games with, at times, a terrible offensive line. It's with a wide receiver room that would be ranked near the bottom of the league, and yet he's just killing it across the board. And it's by every single metric you could come with. Passing yards, not throwing interceptions. The Texans are near the top of the league. Actually, I have the number right here. Texans are top 10 in scoring percentage, both plays run and yards per possession, and they're obviously, with his no interceptions, top 10 in turnover percentage as well, with, you know, bad offensive line, no running game. And one of the things I don't remember which one of you mentioned, I think it was Andrew, about how he shows a lot of the intangible things, his willingness to learn, his anticipation, the accuracy. He has the raw arm skills to rip it and put it into tight windows. But you mentioned, like, Patrick Mahomes and the playground ability, and maybe he doesn't have that ability to just make a play out of nowhere. But let's go to audio right now from C.J. Stroud talking about the, at the time, go-ahead touchdown pass to Dalton Schultz from last week, where he talks about seeing something basically on film and coming up with a play on the spot.
I don't want to give out all my secrets, but I just had, I think it's like a gut feeling that you get, like, in between the games. So me and Bobby had a conversation on the sideline about, like, a certain route that we wanted to do, and we didn't have it in at practice. I just felt like, in those big-time situations, the guys that they
Jesse Bates is a great player, like super good, really instinctive. Like he almost picked me off. He like did some weird 360 turn. It's the first time I've seen that, so now I got it in my bank and hopefully he don't ever get me again. But playing against him like keeps you honest, and I knew that he was going to try to make the play of the game and try to take it away. But previous film study I was watching film on like a big time third down situation, and just seeing that they're in like this quarters matchy like cover four look, and I told Dalton to do a certain thing in his route that I thought would get us not only the first down but a touchdown. So we were on the same page, and I'm literally trying to like break down exactly what I want from him in the huddle. And at first I don't think it registered, and then he was like, okay, I get it. So Dalton's really smart and made a hell of a route.
I mean, hearing that, it just makes me football geek out. I mean, to hear a guy in his fifth game as a pro basically coming up to the OC, he's like, okay, this play is going to get us a touchdown. Let's run this play. And he's literally telling a veteran like Dalton Schultz, okay, this is what you're going to do because this is going to take advantage of Bates trying to jump the route and get you open or whatever. The idea that in his fifth game we're talking about a guy that can, you know, damn near lead the league in passing yards, hasn't turned the ball over. He's anticipating throws like we heard JT O'Sullivan talking about. He's calling up plays on the fly and teaching these to his OC and his veteran tight end. I don't know if I've ever been more confident in a Texans player through five games that they're going to be an elite player at their position. I mean, Watt we knew fairly early, but I don't think it was by game five. Andre, I think we knew fairly early. The only guy I can really think of is Arian Foster. Like, basically, Third game he ever played, which was that 2010 opening win against the Colts.
Explode.
But it's a running back, so it's not quite the same, but you knew he was going to be a stud. I don't know any other way to say it, but I am completely convinced that C.J. Stroud is going to be an elite top five quarterback for the next decade.
Yeah, I mean, all of us went down the full laundry list of all the like physical stuff that he can do and everything that he's shown. But really, like, and you first heard about it in training camp, and it's a little bit just kind of sounds like training camp BS until you actually see it on field, where he doesn't make the same mistake twice. You know, he doesn't make the mistake. When he gets something wrong, he wants it corrected. And then, like he says in the clip, he has it in his bank. Once he sees it, he has it in his bank. And some of that does seem like it's lip service. And again, when it's in practice, you're like, cool, nice. But you can see it play out in games. And that's just, again, for a rookie, so impressed.
Yeah, that's, Sean, to me, what outside of the stuff that he's done just from his on-field performance, the fact that he's not a guy who consistently makes the same mistake over and over again is what is so impressive for him as a young quarterback, because the fact that he is able to recognize, okay, did this wrong, didn't get burned by it, thankfully, but we can learn from it and still put it in my memory and move on. That's something that they talked about in practice all the time, is CJ's not making the same mistake twice. And it's one thing to hear that when it's the bullets aren't flying and there's not a play clock and everything else and you're in practice and you're in camp. But to have that happen in the NFL games, especially as a rookie, is so, so incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's backed it up. Like you guys said, it sounds like lip service until he proves it on the field. And it feels great. I mean, the Texans have been around for over 20 years now, and it feels like they just walked into the best quarterback in franchise history. He's doing things in game five that we haven't seen Texans quarterbacks do in year five. They've got the best quarterback in the division. And going forward, I mean, one of the things we talked about before the draft was, like, God, the AFC with Mahomes and Burrow, you have to have an upper level quarterback to compete. Honestly, I think they do. It's not going to happen this year, probably not next year, but I think they have the upper-level quarterback to contend at the highest level. All right, one segment left here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, before the Aggies pregame for their game against Tennessee takes over at 1:30. We will finish the show next with our Mount Rushmore Plus One segment. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, we're back. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean and I were talking about fighting each other during the break. Things got intense.
We weren't actually fighting.
It was an ugly chapter in the history of the bullpen, but we'll move past it. All right, it's time to end the show with our groundbreaking, award-winning segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One. We'll have to go a little bit faster because Aggies football, the pregame show starts at 1:30. I'll go ahead and lead off right now. My Mount Rushmore Plus One this week is of the worst sports team. I was kind of inspired by you, Sean, last week going into the mascots with the cereals.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the worst mascots, sports mascots, to fight on your behalf.
Okay.
Oh, I said that wrong. Sorry. I'm going with the best sports. This is a multi-week thing. This is an extended universe. This week we're going with the best mascots that we want to fight on our behalf.
That was a look ahead. That was a little sneak peek.
A little bit of a preview.
Okay, so these are the best ones.
These are the best ones, and one caveat, of course you want lions and tigers to fight for you. Let's just throw out the animals. Grizzlies, okay, we got it. Raptors, we got it. All right. Okay. So these are non-threatening, kill you in an instant animals. So the sports mascots I want to fight on my behalf, one, the Wizards. I mean, I'll take Magic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he could just, you know, wiggle his hand like Yoda and, like, send you flying across the room because he's a wizard or conjure up a weapon for me to use in this fight, then I definitely want the Wizard on my side. On my side, and then I'll kind of speed through the next two because they're kind of the same thing. Giant, give me Giants and give me Titans. Just massive size. I mean, if I'm in a life-threatening situation and I have a Giant or a Titan on my side, I think that other person is walking away.
I'd go Titans over Giants because I think Titans implies immortality.
It does. Yeah, you're right. True.
The godly element to that.
Yeah, the Giants could be killed if you had a big enough weapon. The Titans.
Or a slingshot. Yeah.
Or a slingshot, exactly, if we're going biblical. All right, the last two are a little bit off the wall, but I do think they'd be a strong candidate to fight on my half. I'm going with the Brewers. I just want drunken rage.
Okay.
If they get liquored up enough, one, they could take shots. They have their pain tolerance decreases, and their willingness to fight on my behalf. Okay. For no apparent logical reason, I think increases. So give
Wizards,
me the Brewers.
Giants, Titans, drunk man.
That's an interesting list you got there.
Well, you think that was interesting. My last one, and you'll have to follow me a little bit on this, Steelers. Look, okay. I want someone who's been beaten down and is bitter about the collapse of their industry that has no other means to get by other than to fight on my behalf, and I will pay him to do so.
Yeah.
So I just think someone that has watched their industry fall apart through the stained glass and the hourglass of time will have no other options than to fight on my behalf. Just bitter.
We used to make things in this country.
Take out all their frustrations that their industry is now gone on the face of my opponent.
I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was something.
Yeah. Hey, Rust Belt Rage.
That was dark. Rage.
Yeah, that last one was kind of dark. It was bleak. Bleak outlook on the
look,
American
Sorry, steel industry is not coming back. All right. Sean, you're Mount Rushmore plus one.
Oh, I'm getting saved for last. I don't know about this.
All right, Andrew. Do you want to?
No, no. Let Sean go. Sean go. I think I've got a good capper for us.
In honor of...
Oh, actually, I know your list. You do. Yeah.
In honor of the Astros making the ALCS every year since 2017.
The Astros Invitational, yes.
Yes, I am going to celebrate the last year that the Astros did not make the ALCS. I'm doing my Mount Rushmore plus one of things from 2016.
Oh, I love this. Okay. All right.
Things from 2016. Number one, the crying Jordan meme.
Oh, that's an all-timer.
What a meme.
Bring it back? There's no reason for it to go away.
It should still exist
if we're being honest.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but I don't see it nearly as much.
We can be the change we want to see in the world on that one. Number two, Pokemon Go. Remember Pokemon Go?
The world was at peace.
I do remember it because at the time I was working at GameStop and that's all anyone ever wanted to ask me about. But
I had the game in a headline.
Oh my God, yeah.
And don't let this distract you from the fact that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals.
And I'm sure they got crying Jordan meme.
Crying Jordan, hand in hand. The fourth one, this one might upset some people. Brock Osweiler was the Texans quarterback.
Oh, my God. I thought this was – was this not good things? No, this is just things.
Things.
Okay.
Just so
neutral. To be good or bad.
Neutral. Neutral all the way.
That ain't neutral. That's not neutral. That is awful.
That is an all-time franchise low.
I just completely lost John Belmer. I can see it in his face. He was with me. Now he is out on this list. Let me go with another – arguably just as dark thing.
The death of the steel industry?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. That happened way before 2016. The murder of Harambe. Our sweet prince. Our sweet prince in the Cincinnati Zoo. Harambe.
The memes.
Sean went full meme boy here.
Oh my God.
I love it.
The Harambe memes were amazing. Yes.
Oh, Sean let his college student really come out.
Yeah. Could you tell us 20
right
years
there.
Old?
Yeah. Harambe memes, crying Jordan memes. Reminding the Warriors that they blew a 3-1 lead. That was a good list. Not all of it good times. Some of those were dark times. But Andrew, close the show on us. What do you have for your Mount Rushmore plus one?
So this is also a relatively topical one, I believe. And since the Astros are playing Dallas/Arlington/Fort Worth in the ALCS, I decided to make a Mount Rushmore plus one of the things to hate about Dallas/Fort Worth/Arlington.
You only have five?
I only have five. It was hard to narrow things down. You know, we're going to cap it off with what I think is by far the best of them.
Okay.
And number one, you got to start here, the people. The people of Dallas. Like, I don't know if I need to say much more than that, but Dallas has got to be one of the most pretentious, egotistical, narcissistic cities I have ever had the misfortune of visiting. And look, frankly, the people there, there are some good people in Dallas. Don't get me wrong. Let me see if I can do my Trump hands here. There are some good people. But look, Dallas is not sending their best, okay? Dallas is not sending us their best people. And frankly, I'm just – if I have to listen to one more stuck-up Dallas person
You mean like Clarence Hill Jr. talking about how Dallas has dominated all – he brings up that Dallas has dominated Houston in every sport. And he brings up high school basketball and high school football.
Almost every citizen of Dallas – I genuinely, in my opinion, believe that Dallas is the center of the universe, which is just not a fact. But up next, Cowboys fans, obviously.
Get bodied, BK.
Cowboys fans, just, I'm making massive generalizations here, but by and large, no, this is not your year. Dak just threw another pick. You guys suck. Your team is not that good. And as long as Jerry continues to be the GM, you will not be that good.
Kellen Moore's going to get revenge this Sunday.
Number
Monday.
Three. What they consider Tex-Mex. Look, I'm just sorry. Like, Dallas does have good barbecue. I'm not going to sit here and deny it. Dallas does have good barbecue.
You have integrity. You'll tell the
truth. But there are other aspects of their food scene that they try and claim as being, like, we invented the margarita. No, you did not invent the margarita. I'm sorry. Get out of here with that BS. Like, Tex-Mex was not started in Dallas. Get out of here with that.
I feel like I want to ask Dusty his opinions on Tex-Mex. I think he might have some interesting opinions.
Number four, the lack of creativity in that city.
I appreciate
city,
you moving past
just from their arc. We're on a clock here. John's giving me my own hurry-up sign. The lack of creativity in that city, from your architecture to your soulless little stadium that copied
– architecture blast.
That copied Minute Maid Park. Get out of here with this crap. And then last but not least – Dallas let JFK get shot.
I mean,
if you're a city and you let a president get assassinated, get out of here. You are not a real American
city. If he got shot in Houston, the Houston doctors and the great medical center would have saved him.
Andy Anderson, probably.
They would have picked his brains up off the floor of that car and put it back in his head.
Death of the steel industry. You're talking about scooping JFK's brains up and shoving it back in.
And it would have worked if he got shot in Houston, but he wouldn't.
You know what we don't have here? We don't have buildings for books where a hitman could go in there and shoot
Damn
him from
right
the sixth floor. Yeah.
Barely have books.
Barely have books. All right. That'll do it for the Bullpen ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. That was a hell of a way to end it, Andrew. Great job there. We'll be back next week here in the Bullpen. I believe a full two-hour show next week. Whoa. The Aggies, I believe, have a bye week, so we'll get the full 2 hours next week. Thank you for joining us this weekend. Go Astros. Again, Sean had him in seven. Andrew and I had him in six, and I believe Johnny B also had him in seven. Until next week, Houston, good night. Day.